Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those you were pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles, and he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord. And with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and shall have their fill. They shall praise the Lord, those who seek him. May their hearts live on forever and ever. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly. All the earth shall remember and return to the Lord. All families of the nations worship before him. They shall worship him, all the mighty of the earth. Before him shall bow all who go down be to the dust. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. And my soul shall live for him, my descendants serve him. They shall tell of the Lord to generations yet to come. Declare his saving justice to peoples yet unborn. These are the things the Lord has done. I will.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before Him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from Him whatever we ask, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And His commandment is this: we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Those who keep His commandments remain in Him, and He in them. And the way we know that He remains in us is from the Spirit He gave us. The Word of the Lord.
Says the Lord, whoever remains in me will bear much fruit.
From the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to His disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, He prunes, so it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one cannot read our gospel today without wondering, where were Christ's words spoken? The previous chapter ends with the statement, "Let us arise and go." It would seem logical that at this point, our Lord and his disciples left the upper room, walked through the streets of Jerusalem and out towards the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ's favorite place to pray. Along the way, they would have observed, they would pass through the vineyards growing on the hillside, and there our Lord would have observed the workers in the vineyard, pruning the vines and burning the dead branches. It must have been here that Christ began to draw a comparison between himself and his followers and a vine and its branches. Two statements in this analogy stand in sharp contrast. One says, "He who lives in me and I in him will produce abundantly." The other says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Christ was talking to his disciples about making their lives count for something. Surely that's the hope of every sensible human being. We have only one life to live. Is there anything worse than coming to the end of one's life with the realization that we have done nothing with it that is worthwhile? All our hours and days and opportunities, like a fruitless branch, good for nothing but to be cut off and cast into the fire as trash. The real tragedy of that kind of life is that it doesn't have to be that way. Every life has within it the potential to produce abundantly, to count for something that is good and abiding. Of course, we all know that despite the possibilities, the contrast of which our Lord speaks to us holds true. Some people live their lives fruitfully and productively, while others do virtually nothing with theirs. The question is, what makes the difference? What does it take to make life count for something? For one thing, we know that a person's willpower is involved. Our Lord spoke of our living in him and his living in us. But you can be certain that this doesn't happen without a determined resolve, a discipline on our part. There is no easy or magic way for us to be what Christ would have us to be. A strong will and self-discipline is always called for in dealing with life so as to make it meaningful and worthwhile. The person who accomplishes something in life is the person who makes up his mind to achieve something, accepts the discipline it takes to do it, rolls up his sleeves, and tackles the task at hand. But if that were all that was necessary, it would not be much of a gospel. In this life, to accomplish something, to live productively, we need desire, we need resolve, we need grim determination and discipline. But we need more than that. Making life count for something also has to do with our philosophy of living. And that has to do with our relationship with Christ. Philosophy, most people ordinarily think, is an intellectual study suitable only for scholars and academics who sit and think solemn thoughts about life in their ivy-covered colleges and universities, and write books few people want to read. Something not very practical in this world at all. But that isn't so at all. Every one of us, day by day, is working out his or her philosophy, his or her interpretation of the meaning of life. You see, there is more to living than just the fact of existence. More than what we do, but why we do it. The quality of our lives is not determined simply by the things that happened around us. Of far greater importance is our understanding of what is happening and why, and our response or attitude towards those things. For example, if two men are told by their doctors that they have only a few months to live, both of them are confronted by the same fact. But while the first man collapses in bitterness and despair, the second man rises to courage and faith. I've seen it happen. One man laments the futility of it all and gives up. The other man makes those final months the most memorable and influential of his life, and goes out on his adventure with head held high and banners flying. The difference between these two men is in their philosophy, their understanding, and their interpretation of the facts of life. And if you dig deep enough, you will probably find that the difference in their philosophies is Christ. One man lives in Christ, the other does not. In these days, I thank God for the Christian philosophy of life. We desperately need it if our lives in this generation are to count for something good. Willpower and discipline and determination are not enough. It was not enough for Christ. He saw life at its worst and rose above it, transformed it, and glorified it, not only for himself, but for all of us too. His deep convictions about God and life's eternal meaning saw him through the worst that the world and the devil could throw at him. So if we abide in him and he abides in us, our lives will produce abundantly. But there's one thought more. Making life count for something requires that we draw upon a source of power beyond ourselves. The branch finds its fruitfulness in its connection with the vine. Apart from the vine, it can do nothing but dry up and die. Living these days calls for a relationship with God that is a source of divine power and not simply a theological theory. I love to hear some of the people in Alcoholics Anonymous talk about God. They found themselves in deep trouble, beaten down by the world and going down fast in despair. And then out of that despair, they reached out for some power to help. And to their amazement, they found him. You should hear them talk about God. No pious piffle, no shallow religiosity. They are no biblical scholars. But they are sure of one thing. There is a higher power greater than ourselves that will enable people to make their lives count for something good. That power God offers to us freely out of his love for us. And all we have to do is to choose to reach out and accept it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But he who lives in me and I in him will produce abundantly. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As branches of the one true vine, we call on the name of our God, who never fails to answer our prayers.
For the mission work of the church throughout the world, and for the safety of all who proclaim the good news, particularly those who are being persecuted, especially in the Near East and Africa, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace in the world, for a safe return home for refugees, and for cooperation and generous sharing of resources among the nations, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those newly baptized this Easter season, newly grafted to the vine, as they thrive and bear fruit through their vital witness to the good news, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the earthquake victims of Nepal, for all those who have no place to call home, for those who are unemployed or underemployed, and for those who go to bed hungry or in pain every night, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those in the military and diplomatic services who serve and protect our nation at home and abroad, and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Joseph H. Miller, Frank Garza Jr., Lydia Villarreal Leonard, Andy Villarreal, Cynthia Schumann, and Michael Feenan, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts. For all of our intentions, spoken and unspoken, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O God, we have been grafted onto this vine of Christ by our baptism. Grant us the grace to grow ever closer to him, that we may bear fruit to the glory of your name. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Thank you.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. Let us pray. O God, by the wonderful exchange effected in this sacrifice, have made us partakers of the one supreme Godhead. Grant, we pray, that as we have come to know your truth, we may make it ours by a worthy way of life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. By the oblation of his body, he brought the sacrifices of old to fulfillment in the reality of the cross, and by commending himself to you for our salvation, showed himself to be the priest, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise. And even the heavenly powers, with the angelic hosts, sing together the unending hymn of your glory. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me.
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother Bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace be with you. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.